This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Jeff Parles, Sports by the Book, will join us, and we will break down Game 5 of the World Series. We'll talk some football, some Thursday Night Football, his picks for the week, as there will be a Game 5. Baseball season continues for one more night. Yankees finally get on the board with a win. They pull away late. And, you know, two ways to look at this. And Cole, as I'm recording this, the final outs are being recorded here. Cole, you're probably going to be minus 135, 140 favorite over Flaherty. And you got your ace on the mound at home with a chance to send this back to LA. But like I said, two ways to look at this. If you're a Yankee fan, now there's going to be some Yankee fans that take solace in the fact they didn't get swept, didn't roll over. There would have been an embarrassment level for, you know, getting swept, losing at home, having another team, you know, having watching the Dodgers celebrate on your field, that would sting, and that possibility is still very much in play. And you know, maybe this is too little too late, but there is going to be some Yankee fans, and this is kind of where I fall, where, boy, you just think back to Game 1, and who knows, maybe everything's different, but if the Yankees had just hung on to Game 1 and they really let that game get away, we're talking about a 2-2 series and really – a tied series with a best of three where you're guaranteed a game six and probably looking at a game seven, the series we all hope for, the series we all, expected here coming in, a good series, a long series. And it's possible that we were robbed of that in game one and really game one. I mean, you're going to look back at that and any realistic chance of the Yankees winning that series, I think went out the window that night and, you know, barring a miracle and hey, winning what now is three in a row. Is that a miracle? The fact that nobody's ever come back from 3-0 in the World Series and it's only happened once in best of seven in baseball and it was right. So yeah, I mean it's a borderline miracle. Now it's only 6-1 odds. You don't think of a miracle. I mean 6-1 underdogs win, you know, all the time in college football or like the NBA. But I don't know, coming from 3-0 down in the World Series, it still feels like a far-fetched scenario. But if you're the Yankees, hey, we have Cole on the mound. We got a chance to send this back to LA and make things interesting. And we're one win away if that happens from forcing a game seven. Now, game six would be the problem for me just because Rodon and the Dodgers, it's just not a good matchup for the Yankees. He gives up a million homers. He's not good away from home. And not only does he give up a million homers, the Dodgers hit a million homers, but that's still a step away. I do think the Yankees win Wednesday night. I do think that sets up a game six and that'll be fun. I mean, that sends the series back to LA. That avoids this idea more that the Yankees just came in here and got outclassed, that avoids the idea or that kills the idea of, man, this series was just a total wash. If you're sitting there Friday night, game six, one game away with a game seven with all the drama of the Dodgers possibly blowing this, you kind of got your money's worth. Now, again, if you're the Yankees, any chance of winning this got blown in game one. But if you're sitting there for a game six on Friday, you can't say, man, what a disappointing series this was as a baseball fan. So we'll see if Cole can make that happen. I mean, look, you can't pencil anything in. Flaherty pitched well in game one. Dodgers have a million weapons. Ohtani does not look the same. That's the one, if you're trying to make the case, if you're starting to dream the dream, if you're the Yankees, Ohtani, he got one hit in game four. He didn't get a hit in game three. He did walk and get hit by a pitch, but he's grimacing. You could see early in the game when he's running to second base, he's holding onto his shoulder as he's running. It really slowed him down. The threat of him stealing is not there anymore. It's possible that the Yankees get back in the series again. Just the game six matchup for me. If this whole thing, hey, could this possibly happen? Could the dream actually, you know, could the unthinkable actually happen? To me, the game six in this scenario is the thing that's far-fetched. But the Yankees, like I said, they avoid embarrassment. Volpe with a big grand slam. Wells hits a homer. Wells hits another ball. It bangs off the wall. Torres hits a homer late to put the game away. So you got some offenses from unexpected sources. And Judge still hasn't even gotten hot. Now, maybe the base hit late in the game gets him going. But that's the solace you're going to take if you're the Yankees, where, hey, Judge is maybe starting to get on track and he has one of these stretches where, you know, he hits four home runs over the next three games and he can carry the Yankees. Because, I mean, he's obviously capable of that and he's obviously doing. I don't buy this idea that, you know, he chokes or it's in his head. I just think it's a timing thing, a mechanic thing. The front hip is coming out on the breaking stuff. He's a little late on the fastball. And, you know, once you're late on the fastball and you're kind of guessing on the breaking stuff, everything just kind of unravels. But maybe, you know, the at-bats were a little bit better in game four, and I feel like I've been saying the at-bats have been better for a while now, but if that run can come, who knows, maybe this can become a series again. So Yankees get on the board. I feel like any chance, once they got down 2-0 in the series, I feel like any chance of actually winning the series, they probably needed all three in Yankee Stadium. But look, you can look at it from this way too. Down 3-0 in the series, Freeman hits another homer right off the bat in game four, and everybody in America at that point thinking sweep. Even if you like the Yankees coming into that game, once Freeman homers, you say, all right, this is done. This is just a mere formality. Dodgers are going to win this game and win this series in four games. And the Yankees got off the mat. So you're one win away from putting a little pressure on the Dodgers, sending this back to L.A. and making things fun, making things interesting. I do think Cole has a big game in him. I don't completely trust him, and that was not dominant Cole we saw in game one. I know there was, and I thought they took him out too early, but I know some people like Jeter and A-Rod were saying, man, Cole was dominating. How can you take him out? I agree they lifted him too early in game one, but I don't agree the fact that he's dominant. We've seen Cole be dominant. We've seen Cole be basically unhittable where he's got, you know, 10 plus strikeouts and you can't get the good part of the bat on the ball. They were hitting a lot of balls hard in game one. He only had four strikeouts. That being said, you were able to save Weaver in the ninth. You got four outs out of him, so he's available. Everybody's available pretty much here in a game five, and we'll see if the Yankees can get the bats and push this to L.A. Remember, Flaherty in the Mets series was dominant in game one, threw like a two-hitter. Then he came around the second time, and he got absolutely bombed out of the building. So same sort of scenario, 3-1 in New York where he pitched game one, and then he pitched game five. So we'll see if history repeats itself, and we could set up a possible game six. So I'm excited. I'm rooting for it. I'm happy the series isn't over. I'm happy baseball season isn't over. I'm happy I'm not coming on here doing a eulogy. Was not ready for the season to end. Was looking forward to this series. It would have been a bitter disappointment. Rooting interest aside, would have been a bitter disappointment if this was a four-game sweep and the series was done Tuesday night after Friday night. What a great game. Saturday night was a good game. And, you know, 2-3 days later, the series would have been over. That would have been a tough one. So one more day of summer, one more day of baseball. We'll see what Jeff Parles thinks next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him sports by the book. He is our buddy Jeff Parles. He joins us now. Jeff, the champagne can wait. The trophy in the building Wednesday night can wait. We have one more, or Tuesday night can wait. We have one more day of baseball at least. What's going on? And are we going to get a game six here in this series?
Well, it's good to talk to you. I will say this. When Freeman homered in the first inning on Tuesday night in game four, like, all right, well, it's over. This thing's completely done.
Totally, completely done.
And especially when Boone was letting, like I, even at 5-3, like, I thought he left healing too long. It's like, oh boy, this is setting up for a mess. But credit to the Yankee bullpen. They were spectacular in game four. And it's interesting that Dave Roberts, look, his team's a juggernaut right now, but Dave Roberts is now ejected from, he basically like hit the eject button for three games this postseason. And that's not even counting game two against San Diego where, I mean, they weren't really in it, but it got out of control late in that game. But he hit both of the losses to the Mets. He hit the eject button and he hit the eject button here in this game as well. And look, it's still going to be an absurdly hard uphill battle for the Yankees to pull off history here. But I do like them in game five. I mean, they were one out away from winning the cold start in game one. And it, obviously, look, we know what happened. But if they get that final out, I guess that'd be out 30 in that game. We have a whole different tenor going into this game five. It's like, all right, well, we've gotten a really good series. It hasn't been as competitive other than game one. But you know what? We got a 2-2 series. Yankees have the better pitcher in game five. Yankees, at that point, I would say the series should be minus 110 both sides with the Yankees having a distinct advantage in game five. And look, they do. I know Flaherty was awesome in game one other than the Stanton homer, but we saw Flaherty just get nuked at Citi Field in a similar spot in game five. With a chance to wrap it up, and the Mets destroyed him in that game. I think the Yankees are getting this back to L.A. on Friday night. Once they get back to L.A., I don't think this thing gets past Friday night. I said this before the series. Yeah, as good as Cole is, as good as Flaherty's been this postseason, I truly believe Yamamoto's the best pitcher in this series. And he was really good in game two. I just have a hard time seeing the Yankees being able to beat Yamamoto in a game six. But look, you open the door. If you're the Dodgers, you open the door here. I didn't love that Roberts ejected from this game in a two-run game in the eighth inning where if you throw up a zero with one of you, throw Brazier, who's about your fifth best reliever, instead of Honeywell and punt the game. Because the other thing is that Luke Weaver would have had to have gotten seven outs in this game. And how much do you think he realistically would have left in the tank for game five instead? Now, Weaver could go get six outs tomorrow night. You could basically, if Cole gives you a big time outing, you can eliminate the bridge basically to Weaver at this point.
Yeah, and if you're the Yankees, boy, it's a twisted way to look at this because Yankee fans, man, you feel good. We finally won a game. You finally got something to celebrate. But if they had lost game four, you could almost brush it off. Hey, we got swept. We got embarrassed. Dodgers are the better team. The fact that the Yankees won game four almost makes game one more painful. Where again, if they had just lost game four, you say, you know what? Who cares? We weren't the better team. The series is over. The fact that this kind of brings back, at least for me, man, this should be 2-2 right now. It's just, it kind of drives the point. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it now, but it does make game one even more painful, the fact that they won this game four here.
I think painful is the right way to put it. Look, it's, we'll be talking about the decision to bring Cortez in instead of Hill for a very long time, Will, because I know Nestor got out of the jam yesterday, but geez, to put that guy in that position, even with getting Ohtani out. And also, too, the other thing in that game that's, like, critical to the operation is, and look, it was an amazing play by Verdugo. I can't really fault him. But if Verdugo finds a way to stay in play, they're not intentionally walking Mookie Betts in that spot. They're going after Mookie Betts right there with runners at first and second, up a run in the bottom of the 10th inning. The only reason that Mookie got intentionally walked, all right, it's first base, whatever. We'd rather have lefty-lefty in that scenario. Whatever, Mookie's run doesn't matter at that point. So, this has been a series that I think if you're a Yankee fan, look, they've been outplayed. There's no arguing that, but you can look back and be like, boy, especially if Cole wins game five and be like, wow, this could be a very different feeling thing right now. If we had just held game one and, there was absolutely the opportunity to hold that thing, as we know.
Do you think Judge gets going here? Had a hit late, had a walk. His takes were good. I know you're starting to look. It's I don't want to sit here and treat him with, give the kick glove treatment. I'm just watching what I see. Hey, I do see the signs of he's not chasing the breaking ball. He had some good takes. Now it's going to be different when it's Flaherty, it's Yamamoto, possibly in game six. But do you see a Judge run, a reversal of the narrative here where he hits a couple homers and he starts to get back on track?
Well, if that happens, then we're going seven if that's the case. I really do believe that. I just don't see it. I know it was a little bit – it was better, for sure. I just – even that first – the first walk he had was just – I mean, there were multiple pitches he would have swung and missed at earlier in the series. Look, I think the other thing is, too, is you finally got the bottom of the lineup alive again. I mean, Volpe, obviously, with the huge game. Wells, who had been as bad as anyone other than the one shot in Cleveland, puts one in the second deck. The bottom of the lineup finally did some things. Even look, Verdugo's even been somewhat okay at the plate in this series. So, yeah. Look, there is an opportunity. There is absolutely an opportunity here. Again, when it's all said and done, the Dodgers are just bet. They are the better team. They're not losing four in a row. And look, you can go back and say, what if here? And it's funny because the conversation, if the Yankees got swept, Will, would have been, at least for me, just talking to you here on the pod, it would have been, boy, the Yankees, everyone was right. Everyone was right. The Yankees just took advantage of this unbelievable joke run of beating two teams that the Royals wouldn't have even been in the playoffs in the NL. And the Guardians would have been a borderline playoff team at best in the National League by the end of the year. I guess I know they had more wins than the Mets and Atlanta, but let's be real with ourselves. If you put them in the NL Central, even with that division being weak, you don't have all those extra games against the worst team ever. But the Yankees have at least the opportunity here to change the narrative and be like, all right, well, you know what? This series was a lot even, and everyone was right to say this was a heavy-duty series between the two best teams in baseball going into this.
It's funny, Yankees 6-1 on the money line, and you think of, man, what it would take to win this series all time, like historic comeback. And again, we're a long way from there.
I feel like you need more than that.
I know. That's, I'm like, man, a 6-1 dog pretty much wins like every week or a couple of them in college football, like, or some NBA underdog. Or like, that's just
6-1, that's it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you think about it, a three-team parlay pays 6-1. I mean, that's what it is.
I know,
they'll be slight dogs.
Boy, I mean,
slight favorites. They're minus 142.
Game,
yeah.
he'll be favored in game five, but I know the price. I know how the market will disagree with my pricing. I would almost make the Dodgers $1.55, $1.60 in game six. I know that won't be the case, but I don't think that's the right. It'll go off what the market says. But again, I'm like I said before, I really think Yamamoto is the best pitcher in this series. So
it sounds like you're picking Yankees to win in five and lose six.
Yeah, that's what I got. The Yankees extend this back to L.A. to become the first team ever to get a World Series to six when down 3-0. But that's where it ends on Friday night with Yamamoto getting it done on November 1.
And I hadn't realized how badly these teams have done. I know teams usually don't do well when they're down 3-0 just in general in these sports, but I feel like NBA, it's a mixed bag. Remember, like, Dallas was down 3-0 to Boston. They forced a game five. They rolled in game four. I didn't realize it's been since 1970 that a team down 3-0 had even won a game four. So the fact that you even got a fifth game is somewhat of an anomaly here.
Well, I was stunned at that too, because you would think, all right, well, baseball, that's the one sport where you can get weird results every once in a while. My brain obviously goes to the 99 Mets, who were in a 3-0 hole against the Braves, and then the Grand Slam single game happens and they get it back to Atlanta, and then Kenny Rogers happens, but that's a different story for
Was that
time.
Six or seven they lost?
Six.
Okay. Walk off
Piazza
walk, right?
Homers off Piazza Homers off Smoltz for a late lead, and then Armando Benitez and Kenny Rogers do it to him. So again for the Yankees, I'm happy we're having this discussion instead of the offseason discussion, Will, because This is too good of a series on paper to be a sweep, man.
I'm with you.
These teams are just, even though, again, I know that maybe the Yankees are not quite as good because the AL was weaker, but just on paper, these two teams look so good and clearly the two best teams in baseball. And it's actually nice that the playoff bracket actually worked out for once in a full season. It is kind of funny in retrospect that the pandemic shortened season, we got the 2-1 seeds in retrospect. I mean, how patently ridiculous is that? That we got, that when it was a short season and we managed to get the two teams that were actually the best teams in the short season in that World Series. It's pretty ridiculous in retrospect.
Who do you like this week, NFL, college, anything?
Oh, boy. Well, can I start on Thursday night real quick?
I was going to save it, but go ahead.
Can I start there? What has happened with the Jets is beyond disgraceful. There's no other way to put it. It's all brought on by the fact that the owner is clueless. And I at the time, I didn't mind the firing of Saleh. I thought they should have done it in the offseason. But it's pretty clear at this point that Woody fired Saleh because he lost in front of his friends in London. And as stupid as it is, and how big of a train wreck Ulbrich has been through three games, I actually think the Jets beat Buffalo, would have beat Buffalo, and definitely would have won this weekend against New England if Saleh was still the coach, as ridiculous as that may sound. With all that said, Will, the Jets are going to beat the Texans by two scores on Thursday.
Wow.
And I don't know if this is just the Jet fan in me knowing that they do not go quietly into the night into tank mode. And that's with any team they've had in their lifetime. But if you look at the matchup, if the Jet defense has anything left in the tank, Houston should have lost to Indy last week when Anthony Richardson was 2-for-14 at halftime. They should have lost that game, Will. If Richardson was capable of completing a pass, Indy would have won that game last week. Houston was lucky to beat Buffalo. They were lucky to beat Chicago earlier in the year as well. Now you're without Nico Collins. You're without Stephon Diggs. Your offensive line is injured in a mess right now. Last year, you remember what happened with the Jets and the Texans. They knocked Stroud out early in the game because the Texans couldn't block. So Will, every public bettor on planet Earth is going to be on Texans money line in this game. You know it. I know it. I think the Jets roll them, and if they don't, whatever, so be it. The season's already lost as it is, but they're even worse than I thought they were if they lose this game on Thursday. Not to say that I think the Texans are bad. They're going to win the AFC South, but they've been pretty lucky so far this year to be at the record they're at, Will.
Can you win by one score to cover the teasers for the Texans?
Yeah, I mean, if the Jets win by, I mean, it's logical that the Jets would probably win by six, right? I mean, actually, what's win by five, because Zuerlein misses two PATs if he's kicking again. That's another ridiculous thing with the Jets. How can you possibly have let the kicker now lose three games in one season? And again, there are plenty of problems with the team, obviously. But if Zuerlein was Zuerlein from last year, the Jets are 5-3 right now. And it's a totally different discussion, even with how badly they played for the most part.
Before we get to other games you like, what if this continues the path it goes, whether they win 7-8, whether they're probably not making the playoffs here. Does Rodgers play next year? Like, what does this look like next year?
I hope not. I hope he retires. I think the quicker, unless if this somehow magically turns and the Jets go on some miraculous 8-1 run down the stretch, I think 10 gets you in pretty easily in the AFC this year for whoever happens to get there, with just the fact that the Bengals are a mess. All those teams in the AFC West, I don't think any of them are getting to 10 other than Kansas City. Same deal with the AFC South, other than Houston. Miami, the biggest winner from the Jets debacle is the Miami Dolphins, by the way, Will. Because the Miami Dolphins have been every bit as bad and every bit as big of a disappointment as the Jets. But because the Jets have been a special type of disaster, Miami's just skating under the radar. Miami's on pace to go 6-11 also at this point. So they're lucky. Let's say the Jets go 6-11, which I think is the most logical record for them at this point, Will. I hope Rodgers retires. Just move on. You fire everyone. You hope Woody doesn't Buffalo the search for a GM that badly. And then you hope the GM hires the right coach. If it wasn't for Woody's pride, Woody's pride might do it to him, but Bill Belichick, the Jets being ridiculous and hiring Belichick at this point would not shock me. Would not shock me one bit. I don't think it's the right move. I think the game's passed them by. You don't want him in charge of the personnel, which is what that will take in order to get him there. I think if the Jets go 6-11, which again, I think is the most logical record for them down the stretch, they'll be around the 500 team the rest of the way. I hope Rodgers retires. That's where my brain is at. Do I think he retires? Man, I have no idea. The guy is one of the most illogical people on the planet at this point.
Who else you like, NFL, college, anything?
Let's go NFL here. I like Arizona against the Bears. The Cardinals are low-key, like, reasonable, Will. Their defense has improved the last few weeks, which is something to say about because they were as bad as anyone going into the year. They've had a bunch of just awful games as well. And I know we're not allowed to say nice things about Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray's been awesome this year. And look, he's not winning the MVP or anything like that, but if Arizona wins the NFC West, which is definitely in play at this point, he deserves some consideration. This is the best he's played since that random year where they were the last undefeated team in the NFL under him and Kingsbury going back a few years now. So I like Arizona. And I look, the way the Bears lost, I don't know. If you had a good coaching staff in Chicago, I'd say, all right, wipe it off. No big deal. Young team, you'll still be okay. The Bears are kind of in the same situation the Jets are in. We're going into this year. They needed to fire Matt Eberflus going in after last year.
He's not good.
He is a below average head coach, to put it nicely.
No accountability, too. How about him after the Hail Mary? Let Washington get the free 12 yards, so they're close enough to get the Hail Mary. He goes, that didn't matter. It was going to come down to the Hail Mary anyway.
Or Will, when you see Stevenson acting like a jackass in the corner, call a timeout.
Right.
Call a timeout and make sure everyone's okay. I think Caleb Williams should be awesome. Even though he didn't play well on Sunday, you saw it in the fourth quarter. You saw the skill set that kid has. There are not many guys in this league, quite honestly, ever that have had his type of skill set. But they run the risk of ruining him because they might do the freaking three offensive coordinators in 5 years garbage that we've seen them do in the past. But I like Arizona in that game. And then any the other NFL game that I'm looking at, Will, is I'm going to Buffalo. And I think the Bills are going to kick Miami's ass. And I know Buffalo already beat them up once, and it was a fluky, little bit of a fluky thing because Tua kept turning the ball over and all that stuff. But I think Miami's DOA at this point, man. The thing that bugs me at this point more than anything with them is that Mike McDaniel seemingly gets this pass here where if it him and the front office are fully at fault at what's happened so far, because the only reason that they did not have like a Flacco or a Tyrod or a Jameis Winston or whoever it may be as a backup quarterback to Tua. And look, we thought that could be Mike White. They cut Mike White in preseason, which is looking stupider and looks stupid and stupid all the way through in that 1-3 stretch without Tua. They only did that because Mike McDaniel's so arrogant that he could win with anyone. You're not winning in the NFL with Skylar Thompson. You're definitely not winning in the NFL with Tim Boyle. We know that, Will. But I think this team is DOA. I'm curious if before the deadline they could trade Tyreek Hill at this point and just get out from underneath that contract, because I think that thing's good. That contract's going to age like stale milk at this point, Will, where, I mean, look, I know he's had no quarterback to throw in the ball, but even on Sunday, I didn't even think Hill looked all that great with Tua back against a bad defense in Arizona. And for Buffalo, look, we kind of got brought off the scent with McDermott being a high-end head coach because of the playoff failures, that ridiculous speech with the Twin Towers and all that nonsense. But Sean McDermott's still a good head coach. And the change in Josh Allen since Joe Brady's taken over as the OC is really remarkable, Will. I mean, it took him almost half a season to throw an interception. I mean, that's incredible that Brady has Allen, who again is an amazing talent by any stretch, but has Allen playing so under control. I never thought that was possible for him. And for Buffalo, look, if you beat Miami, sweep Miami, the Jets won't put on their own. New England's terrible. The Bills could have this thing wrapped up by Thanksgiving, man. Like this, and it's only 6 at home. I think there's a run out. I like Buffalo as a favorite at home in this one.
All right, Jeffrey, anything else? Any parting shots here?
Well, I'll just throw this out on the college front real quick. I'm really curious to see when this Indiana run ends at this rate, where they still haven't really played anyone. But then you look at what Ohio State did against Nebraska last week, and Indiana just obviously destroyed Nebraska the week before. I know it's a weird look-ahead spot for Ohio State with Penn State on deck, but I mean, Ohio State very easily could have lost to that Nebraska team that lost by 49 to Indiana the week before. I'm just curious with this week, if Rourke comes back or if it's Jackson, you're laying 8 on the road against a non-pushover in Michigan State. That might be a good spot to take the Spartans, take some points. And if Indiana beats you again, you just tip your hat. They're just on an amazing roll. And it's funny too, Will. I'm just curious to see what the college football playoff does in this scenario this year, because there are going to be a lot more, and this I think will be a unique year in this 12-team playoff. There are going to be a lot more power four conference teams that have one loss that get to the end at 11-1 than normal. Like, there's a legitimate shot that the ACC gets to the end with 3-11 with a 12-0 Miami, an 11-1 Clemson, and 11-1 SMU. And in that scenario, SMU gets left out of the ACC title game, and SMU has no chance likely to get into the playoff at 11-1, which most years they'd probably be good as a Power 4 11-1 team. The SEC is interesting now because you're going to have a lot of two-loss teams. I mean, either Texas A&M or Texas are going to have two losses, Will, at least. You're telling me both of those teams aren't top 12 teams? The committee is going to have a very, very hard time this year, more so than they probably will have moving forward, because there's going to be so many teams that have sparkly records, and then you're going to have a 10 and two, at least probably two SEC teams that are 10 and two that are clearly better than some of those teams with sparkly records that probably will get in over the two-loss SEC team. Or last year was just telegraphing it. Maybe they'll just take that the SEC teams with more losses over the other power conference teams.
Yeah, and these loaded Saturdays where you have the, you're going to have the college football playoffs, you're going to have NFL games, college basketball will be back. It's just, man, it's almost too much to even wrap your head around.
I forgot one more thing. I hope for the betterment of the college football playoff, BYU gets through the regular season at 10-2. Just throwing that out there. I know they were not lucky. They beat the hell out of Central Florida last week, but that team is really not that good. They are far and away at this point the one team that could very much screw up the entire thing, and we could end up with two Big 12s, two ACCs, and then you're running out of air. At that point, you're running out of air for Indiana. Basically, you're running out of air for the two loss SEC teams, because Notre Dame, who again, if they go on 11-1, you and I both know they're putting them in. I don't think Notre Dame should get in at 11-1 over some of these teams that are in it right now because of the loss they had. That should be an eliminating loss, but you and I both know that they're not keeping 11-1 Notre Dame out. Hell, Notre Dame's probably going to host the playoff game at that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jeff, appreciate it, man. We get one more day of baseball season, maybe a couple more days of baseball season. We'll see how it goes. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, Jeff Parles on the tweets, Sports by the Book on YouTube. See me again on Thursday at noon Eastern and at 6 Eastern. Football all the way around, Will, on those Thursdays.
Jeff, appreciate the time. We'll do it again soon.
Of course, buddy.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe. Next time we talk, we will either be wrapping up baseball season and just moving on to football, or discussing a game 6. We'll see what game 5 brings us. Rate, review, subscribe. Talk to you Friday.